in the event that you did not see the program last week, I brought a message from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 on evidences of grace. But I'm going to turn in the Bible to that same chapter today. I want you to get your Bible and open it to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to begin speaking at verse 4 on the subject, evidences of grace. And this is part 2 of that message. And we'll begin with verse 4. Now read verse 4. Paul said, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." Brethren, beloved. Paul calls all believers my beloved brethren. This is a fellowship of believers. This is a fellowship and a relationship of believers called the family of God. They're all in the family of God, and they're all in the kingdom of His dear Son, and they all love one another. Brethren, beloved. Peter says this about them in 1 Peter 2. You are a chosen generation. He says you are a royal priesthood. He says you're a holy nation. You're peculiar. That is, a separated and a purchased people. He said you're the people of God. And they're in many lands and many kindreds and many nations. But they're one family and they're one people, the people of God. And then Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says this about them. Listen to this. This is that fellowship of believers. Brethren, beloved. It's that relationship of a family. Paul says in Ephesians 4, there's one body, the church, the body of Christ. There are many churches, but there's one true church made up of all believers, no matter where they are, who they are. If they are believers in Christ, they're in the body, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the head of that body. One body, one spirit, a spirit of unity. The bond of peace and unity is the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. We're all baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Then he says there's one hope of your calling. What is that one hope? To be like Christ. We'll see Him and be like Him. And that's the one hope of every believer. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, to be conformed to His image. Paul says there's one Lord and one Savior, one faith in Christ alone. There's one God and Father who is above all, sovereign, who is through all, and who's in all, and one family of believers in all nations and tribes and tongues and people, where there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, bond nor free. And these people, like Noah of old, have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and they know it. They've passed from death unto life, and they know it, and other people know it. And Paul says here in verse 4, I know you, brethren beloved, I know you, and I love you, my brethren beloved, and I know that you're among the elect of God. I know you are. Now, what are the evidences? Well, if you look at verse 5, in verse 4, Paul says, brethren beloved, I know your election of God. And here's the first evidence in verse 5. It has to do with hearing. It has to do with believing the gospel of Christ. It has to do with the gospel of Christ coming to us in the power of the Spirit. He said, our gospel, listen to this, I know you're among the elect, my brethren beloved, because our gospel came not to you in word only, but it came to you in the power of the Holy Ghost and in the assurance of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's one thing to hear the gospel with these ears. You can hear the gospel with the natural ear, and it'll activate the mind, and it'll set to work something in the mind, thoughts about what you're hearing. But when you hear the gospel with the heart, that's when it comes in power. when you hear it with the heart. The scripture said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So when the gospel comes in word only, it accomplishes nothing. But when the gospel comes in the power of the Holy Spirit, it comes not just to the mind, not just to the ear, it comes to the heart in power. What is this power? Well, first of all, there's a power of conviction. When our Lord talked about the minister of the Holy Spirit, he said when he is come, the Spirit of truth, he'll convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father to give to them a perfect righteousness, and of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So when the gospel comes to a person in power, it comes not just to this ear, but to the heart, and it comes in power of conviction. It convinces a man of his sin against God, of his lack of righteousness, and of his bondage and captivity to Satan. That's right. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit will convince men. That's power. Secondly, it comes in the power of revelation. No man knoweth the Father but the Son. Neither knoweth any man the Son but the Father, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. The gospel has to be revealed. So the Spirit of Christ comes in power with this gospel of Christ and reveals to us who he is. He's very God of very God. He's the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man. It reveals to us what he did. He took our sins in his body on the tree and paid for them. He worked out for us a perfect righteousness. Why did he do this? That God may be just and justified. Where is he now? At the right hand of God, interceding for us. So there's the power of revelation. I know you're God's elect, Paul said, because our gospel didn't come to you in word only. It came to you in power, the power of conviction, the power of revelation, so that you know who Christ is. And then there's a power of conversion. In whom you believed after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When did you believe? When you heard the gospel of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And then there's a power of new creation, the new birth, born of the Spirit, born of the Word. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And then there's a power of sealing. He said, after you heard, in whom you trusted, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So Paul said to this church at Thessalonica, I know, you're God's elect, because our gospel didn't come to you just in word, just in creed, just in catechisms and doctrines. It came to you in power, in the power of God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, the power of conviction, the power of revelation, revealing Christ, the power of conversion, a new creature in Christ, and the power of creation. Regeneration is recreation, a new creature in Christ, and the power of sealing. And then the gospel came to you in assurance. Now listen to me, and listen carefully. The power of assurance. These things are written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may keep on believing on the name of the Son of God. You mean, Pastor, that a person who's saved knows he's saved? A person that believes Christ knows he believes Christ? A person who loves Christ knows he loves Christ? Knows that he's passed from death unto life? I certainly do. I have no doubt. Now listen to me. I have no doubt that a person who loves Christ knows he loves him. He asked Peter, said, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. There's no doubt about that. You know everything. You know I love you. Let me tell you something. I know I love my wife. And I know I love my children. And I know I love my brothers in Christ. I know that. If you were to ask me, do you love your wife? And I say, I just don't know whether I do or not. Well, you say you're either a fool or you don't love her. If you did love her, you'd know it. Well, I tell you the same thing. Do you love Christ? Well, I don't know whether I love him or not. You're either a fool or you don't love him. Because a person who does love Christ, just like he loves his wife and children, he loves the Son of God and he knows it. Our gospel, I know you're God's elect because our gospel came to you not in word only, it came in power, conviction, revelation, conversion, sealing. That's right. And it came in assurance. I know whom I have believed. I have no doubt that a person who loves Christ knows he loves him. And I have no doubt that a person knows whether he believes the gospel. The gospel is the good news of God's grace. Abraham believed God and he knew it. He knew it. When God told him to leave home, he left because he believed God. David knew he believed God. He said, I believe, therefore I speak. The Lord is my shepherd. I know he's my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. I know. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Job knew his Lord. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. Paul knew him. He said, I know whom I have believed. The gospel came to you in power. You heard it with your heart. It broke your heart. It brought you to faith. It brought you to love Christ. It brought you to believe Christ. And that's the evidence that you're a child of God. It's the evidence of grace. Here's the second thing. Listen to this. He said in verse 6, and I know your election of God because you became followers of us. Followers of us. Who's us? The apostles and the prophets. The men who wrote the scriptures. That's right, the men who wrote the scriptures. God used men. Holy men of old spake as they were inspired of God to write the scriptures. And the prophets. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. He hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who gave the word to the apostles who wrote the New Testament. So he said, I know you're God's elect because you follow the word. You follow the scriptures. You became hearers, and not only hearers, but doers of the word of God. That's right. You heard with the heart. You heard it in power, in much assurance, and then you acted on the scriptures. There is but one way that God speaks to people, and that is by his Spirit through his word. Now, you can write that down. That's right. He speaks to people by his Spirit through his word. Listen to these scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature. The scriptures, Genesis to Revelation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Isaiah said in chapter 8, if preachers do not speak according to the word of God, it's because there's no truth in them. So this is a sure evidence of a work of grace in a man's heart. If the gospel of Christ Jesus, the gospel of his precious blood, the gospel of his perfect life, the gospel of his saving grace, the gospel comes to that man in power and in assurance, and he becomes a follower of the word of God. He believes the word of God. The word of God to that man becomes precious. Precious promises. The word of God to that man becomes more than just words on paper, but words of life. The gospel to that man, the word of God, becomes the source of comfort, the foundation of faith, the means of growth, the means of patience, and the means of a blessed hope. And our watchword is, thus saith the Lord. You know, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. I trust the unchanging word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. So, all right. Now, I know, brethren, beloved, your election of God, because our gospel came to you, not in word only, it came to you in power of God's Spirit, power of revelation, conversion. And it came to you in assurance. You know that God spoke to your heart. And then you heard the word of God and you believed that word and you began to walk in that word. Not just a hearer, but a doer of the word of God. You became a follower of the prophets. You believed Moses. You believed Abraham. You believed David. You believed Paul, James, and Peter, and John, the apostle. You believed them. You believed the word. Now, thirdly, in obeying the word of God, in loving the word of God, in reading the word of God, you became an example. You became an example, not only to those in your home, but to those in surrounding areas. You became examples to those in Macedonia where you lived, in Achaia, and to other places. You became examples. Examples. In other words, the power of the word of God did something for you, made you a better husband, better wife, a better worker, a better son or daughter, a better employer, a better employee. That's right. Listen to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 3, it is. Chapter 3, verse 18. Listen how Paul speaks to the believers, to people of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it's fit in the Lord. Obey your husband. Be a good homemaker. Live in peace. Submit yourself. Be a good wife. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be contrary. Don't be bitter. Don't be difficult to live with. Be a loving, kind leader in the home. Be an example in your home. Be an example of godliness and truth and peace. Children, verse 20, children, obey your parents. Love your parents. Honor your parents. And obey your parents in all things. Listen, this is well-pleasing to God. These are evidences of faith. Wives, husbands, children, not just religious folks carrying their religion down to the church and kissing it goodbye when they walk out, but carrying it all through their lives in every area of their lives. Children, obey your parents. Obedience to authority, not only in the home, but in the school. Fathers, listen to this. Fathers, mothers, parents, provoke not your children to anger. Don't agitate your children. They're still just children. Prone to foolishness, prone to immaturity. Learn to love them. Be patient with them. Remember the sins of your youth. Be patient. And concern. Have a concern for the happiness of your home and the peace and joy of your home and the spirituality of your home. Now look at verse 22. Servants. Servants. You know who servants? Everybody listening to me is a servant to somebody. I'm a servant. The scripture says that when Paul talked about preaching the gospel, he said, I preach the gospel for the glory of God, but I'm your servant for his sake. And everybody who works for somebody is a servant. So let's just say employees. Now listen to this scripture. Employees, whether you work in a steel mill or a grocery store or in a clothing store or whether you work in plumbing or electrician or on the railroad, servants, employees, obey your employers. Obey them in all things in the flesh. Be an obedient, diligent worker. Give it your best shot, every day. You know, the scripture condemns pride, but here's one pride it does not condemn, and that's pride of workmanship, pride of accomplishment, pride of production, not as a man pleaser, but as unto the Lord. That's what that scripture says. You're working, but if you're a believer, you're not working for that man. You're working for God Almighty. And you're to do a good job in a full day's work. Servants, be obedient to your masters. Not as men pleasers, apple polishers, but as unto the Lord. Masters, listen. Masters, you people who work other people, So you got people working for you. And about everybody listening to me has somebody working for them. You employ people once in a while. You employ them temporarily or full time. But here's what it says. Give your servants, give those who work for you, that which is just and equal. What does that mean, equal? Here's what it means. Proper for food, clothing, and shelter. They have to live just like you do. That's right. They have families just like you have. They have expenses just like you have. So listen, you people who work other folks, you don't need labor unions if people are saved, if they know God, because they'll treat others like they want to be treated. They'll do unto others as they would have them do unto them. And a man who works somebody, he'll give him a good, livable, just, equal wage if he loves Christ. That's right. And here's what the apostle says. Masters, give your servants that which is just and right and equal, knowing you have a master in heaven. You have a master in heaven. And what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. On the basis, you'll be judged with the way you treat others. And with what measure you meet, what measure you give out to others, God will measure it to you. Boy, boy, boy. The evidence of grace is grace manifested. The evidences of faith are works of faith. The evidence of love is loving kindness. Now listen to me. It's interesting how the apostle states these changes in believers who find grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's amazing how he states this. First he says in verse 5, the gospel came to you. You didn't come to it. It came to you. God called you. You called on him, but he called you first. You love him, but he loved you first. You believe him, but he sought you first. That's right. The gospel came to you. Dead men don't rise out of their graves. That's right. Thy people are made willing in the day of thy power. The Spirit of God came to you with the gospel in power, in much assurance in the Holy Ghost. Came to you. Now, secondly, and you became something. You see it there, verse 5 says the gospel came to you. And then you became something as a result of that gospel coming to you. You became followers. You became what you were not. You weren't a follower of God. You were a follower of sin and evil in your own way. And you became a follower of God. But the gospel came to you and made you a new creature. And you became an example. You became, by his grace, a new person, a new creature, trees of righteousness. That's right. All right, what's the verse 7 now? And so you were examples. Gospel came to you, and you became a follower. And being a follower of the Word of God, you became an example. He did not say you ought to be an example. He said, and you were an example. He didn't say you should be an example. He said you are an example. That's right. He didn't say you can be an example if you try hard enough. He said, and you were examples. This is the way, this is the truth, and this is the life of those who are born of God. The gospel comes to them in power. They hear it with the heart, and they become followers of the Word. Can't get enough of it. And when the Word works in their hearts, in their souls, they are examples. That's right. Eternal life and redemption. This is what Paul is saying. It's not just a creed. It's not just a profession of religion. It's not just an affiliation with a church or an organization. Eternal life is to know God. Our Lord said, thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is to know God, is to be born of God. He that believeth on the Son is born of God. He that loveth is born of God. He that overcometh is born of God. That's what took place. The new birth is not something you do for yourself. It's something God does for you. being born from above. You didn't have anything to do with your first birth. That's between your mother and father. And you didn't have anything to do with your second birth. The Spirit of God gave you life. You were born of God. Eternal life is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are possible to them that believe. And the centurion gave a good reply to that, didn't he? Lord, I believe. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The disciples said, Lord, increase my faith. Increase it. It's to believe Christ. And then eternal life is to be a new person in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Eternal life is to pass from death to life. Eternal life is to turn from your idols to the living God. Eternal life, verse 10, is to wait for his Son from heaven. Is Christ coming back? He said he would. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself. The angels said he would. They said to the disciples who stood looking into heaven as Christ ascended, and the angels said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you see him go. Christ said he was coming. The angels said he's coming. And John wrote, behold, when the Lord comes, we'll see him, and we'll be just like him. Preacher, what do you believe about the return of Christ? It's the return of Christ. I'm not nearly so much interested in premillennialism or postmillennialism and amillennialism or the events and advents that will take place when he comes. I'm interested in him coming, seeing him, forever dwelling with him and being made like him. Christ is coming back, and we're waiting for his Son. Now, here's the message, evidences of grace in two parts. Part one, part two on the same tape. Send $2, we'll mail it to you. Here's the address. Till next week, God bless you.